It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Marcus Charleston, producer of the program, sitting in for Paul Guggenheimer. The results of the Pittsburgh Regional Diversity Survey presented no surprises to my next guests. They have unique perspectives on the work needing to be done to make the tide of Pittsburgh's turnaround raise all boats. Joining me in studio is Candy Castleberry Singleton, founder and CEO of Dignity and Respect Incorporated, an internationally known speaker, teacher, and mentor. She was the chief inclusion officer at UPMC, where she launched the Dignity and Respect campaign. Candy Castleberry Singleton, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for having me.
We're also pleased to welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh Bill Jenneret Jr., president and CEO of Urban Innovation 21. Jenneret is a boomeranger who left Pittsburgh but came back. He's an entrepreneur working to bridge the gap between the city's tech sector and disadvantaged neighborhoods. He's also an attorney, a well-rounded gentleman. Bill Jenneret, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
Candy, let's begin with you. Tell us about the goal of the Dignity and Respect campaign.
Well, when I started doing diversity work, I think I quickly learned that diversity for some was a conversation that people didn't really want to have, and in fact, that the opposite of that conversation was how people felt about diversity as a part of their experience. And so I think the evolution from the word diversity to inclusion is probably what people sort of today label D&I. What we found is that, you know, the thing that enables D&I are humans. Every day we make decisions that either make people feel included or, quite honestly, don't. Make people feel included. And so as a result, we started thinking about how we might approach this conversation that was already well-branded nationally, globally, and we started asking the question about dignity and respect. So what happens in an environment where you're treated with dignity and respect? And if we could actually get people to begin there, that it would actually be then the entree to making D&I or diversity and inclusion possible. So we asked people, raise your hand if you believe you deserve dignity and respect. And of course they do. And then we ask them to raise their hand if they believe they treat others with dignity and respect. And that's really what the campaign sits in between I want it and I do it. And all of our programs are around that.
Okay. Thank you. Bill Jenneret, would you tell us about urban innovation for those of us who don't know or the people in the listening audience who aren't aware of Urban Innovation 21?
Sure. Urban Innovation 21 is a public-private partnership that started in 2007, you know, with the goal of really expanding the budding economic prosperity that we were seeing to communities and to groups that weren't connected to it. And we started with a small program and have expanded that to do regional work, really to connect the disconnected and to make Pittsburgh a good place for all.
Now, Candy, when we were speaking before, you used the term the illusion of inclusion. Would you define that for us? Tell us a little about that.
So I think that these conversations, you know, it's interesting. Someone at 7:15 yesterday, I joined a conference call and someone said, so Candy, did you read the diversity report? And I said, well, which one? I mean, so this is actually not new data. It's data that we've already heard. And as a result, I think that people sort of are committed to this concept that I call the illusion of inclusion, like it's somebody else's job. So it's the only diversity and inclusion is often the only thing that we can say we're committed to and not actually take any action to make things different. And so therefore, we're creating the illusion that we're committed to it. It's the one thing in many organizations that you can say you're committed to for 20 years, for 5 years, for 10 years, and not make progress. And yet, you can still say you're committed. You wouldn't allow that to happen in any other business function that is going to take you 5, 10, or 20 years to fix a problem. So it's the illusion.
Bill Jenneret, you're nodding in agreement?
I agree 100%. Why Pittsburgh has become the city it is because we set really strong and hard goals and metrics, and we monitored and made changes when were necessary. And we did that around a lot of different things. We've not done that around race. The standards around race and around changing those dynamics are just so loose that it really has allowed some structural racism to come in place in a lot of different sectors, such that we really don't have an environment now where we can do this the way that you know, many of us would like to see it done. I mean, we can do, you know, interesting and good and novel things in pockets, but when we talk about really, you know, moving from an F, quite frankly, to, you know, even a D or a C, we just can't do it. And that's you know, not because the playbook isn't out there, not because we haven't shown that we can do things like this in the past. It's just, you know, quite frankly, around race and sex and inclusion, people don't take that all-in attitude. And quite frankly, as Candy said, you can work on something for 20 years and you can have no results around it. And you can, you know, still keep your job or still keep your position. And that's in all sectors. And so.
Mm-hmm. Bill, you work in the tech sector, which has been growing here in Pittsburgh. You have CMU, Google, and the Alpha Labs. But the tech sector is not known for its diversity. And in the fall, we talked with Christian Manders, who's the CEO of Promethean Life Sciences. We asked him about, on the Central Pittsburgh last year, we asked him about what we can do to get more minorities and what job is Pittsburgh doing in getting minorities into the tech sector.
We could do a better job, unfortunately. But this is not just a Pittsburgh issue. This is actually sort of a broader issue in the sector in general. But Pittsburgh does acutely feel this, and I think minorities as well. I think we could do a better job. And you'll see more minorities, I think, on the research side and sort of getting them tracked in to the entrepreneurship and helping them to build companies is something that the University of Pittsburgh is doing a lot with, CMU as well. There are a lot of support services, the Life Sciences Greenhouse in town, Innovation Works. So there are a lot of key groups that will help support entrepreneurs, but we got to keep fighting the good fight.
Well, I agree, and I think one of the things we can't do is, you know, you have people that are creating some success in pockets. I mean, if you look at, you know, Innovation Works and Alpha Labs, from where they were in the beginning to where they are now, progress has been made. They're great programs. We have some great programs, but I think too often we focus on the programs and we don't focus on the system, because the problem is that, say we have a great Black scientist, a great Black entrepreneur, they can go anywhere. Mm-hmm. Why would they stay here? Why would they grow their business here? You know, and that's how we have to look at this, because the reality is that at every turn, you know, in that pipeline, you know, there are some structural issues. And I think, you know, the cities that are beginning to see some success are really looking at the whole ecosystem and putting the money in to build this great ecosystem. So if I'm a great business and I can't get any contracts, or if I can't get financing, then it's not going to stick, even if, you know, we've built that great business. And so that's the problem that we face.
I think that actually builds on the concept of the illusion of inclusion. So you will have people who actually have the ability in some cases to help. But we often go to our own inner circles, which often aren't as diverse. In that inner circle is where we make our recommendations and our referrals. And so if our inner circle, and we're referring people for whether it's financing, for job opportunities, for supplier opportunities, if that inner circle continues to look the same, then we are only perpetuating a commitment. I mean, perpetuating what's the issue, but we're not actually doing anything different to actually demonstrate an authentic commitment to inclusion. I also think that one of the opportunities that I always ask people is, if your inner circle, I asked you to bring them with you tomorrow, would they make the room more or less diverse by your contribution? And it's not the answer, ultimately, that you give me today. It's after we have these conversations, after you see the data that basically builds on the data that was presented before that and before that. If you're not taking any action, you are contributing to the illusion. If you say you're committed, if you've not done anything different since the last time we gave you this data. Mm-hmm. And I think that people are actually, unfortunately, too comfortable with the illusion of inclusion.
much like the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over expecting a different result?
100%. There's a lot of good stuff taking place in the region, but oftentimes that stuff doesn't get scaled. We'll see, you know, new folks get supported or get funding, and it's almost like it's play money, you know, because right now what we're seeing, and this is across the country, you know, there's money, to help diverse communities, and a lot of buzzwords, but when we talk about the hard metrics, when we talk about who those people, that's when things oftentimes get fuzzy, only because the safeguards aren't there and enforced. We know how to do things great. I mean, we've done things so much greater in so many other cities. It's because we had the will and it was all in. And in cities that are tackling the problem around inclusion in tech, it's all in. It's all in. It's not, hey, organization here, let's focus on you. It's all in. Let's focus on every, you know, part of the pipeline.
Everyone who's bringing everyone else up.
Everyone. I mean, we need to look at education. We have to look at, you know, our universities. Okay, we have the best in price. Will they stay here? If not, why? You know, we did this mm-hmm. with millennials. I mean, you go back 7-8 years ago, yeah. Pittsburgh could keep young people. You know, there weren't boomerangers talking about coming back. Now, you know, that has been changed. We just have to.
That's William Jenner, Jr., President and CEO of Urban Innovation 21. You're listening to Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Marcus Charleston, producer of the program, in for Paul Guggenheimer. Candy Castleberry Singleton, founder and CEO of Dignity and Respect Incorporated. Do we have a chance now to move forward? We've got this survey now, and how do we put words into action? How do we say, okay, we don't want to sit down 5 years from now and be saying the same things?
Well, I would say you could start by doing something simple as making a new friend. If you hear the message today about the data, and we acknowledge that oftentimes our inner circles are just like us. And by the way, this is not unique to any demographic group, right? We segregate ourselves sometimes by faith, by generation, by function, by the work that we do, by the schools that we've attended. And we actually have to learn to get better at making new friends. And so what I would say is that the first challenge I would give us is to say, if you hear this conversation today, then in 6 months from now, what have you done to sort of reach out to someone who's different from you? Because it not only, I think, gives us an opportunity to sort of diversify the space in which we're in, but we can also then learn, overcome perhaps some of the biases and stereotypes that we have about others, because sometimes the very thing that we believe may not actually even be true because it's not our own experience. I had a colleague who's Muslim, and another colleague said to him, "You're not like the other Muslims." And he said, "Well, how many do you know?" He said, "None." Well, he had a perception that wasn't even reality. So I do think that the simple thing you can do is to make a new friend. I do think that once we begin to sort of diversify our networks, then the very thing that we do as natural, organic ways of sort of recommending people is that that circle is where we go. And if that circle becomes more diverse, it does allow for greater opportunity for others in whether that is referrals, recommendations, or supplier opportunities.
Bill, what are other cities doing that you've seen that we need to be doing here?
Well, first, it starts with the will. It starts with the why. What I love about this city is that when we figure out that why, we can do things that no other city's been able to do. You know, we have to figure out that why as it relates to, you know, race and diversity. And it's not another study. You know, I think the studies are good. You know, but that's not the why. You know, the why is, you know, cross sectors. It's all in. You know, you can't have the nonprofit sector saying, "Hey, we need to do this." You can't have, you know, a few corporate champions, because we do have some good corporate champions. There's some great individuals. It has to be an all in. We have to see that if we don't do this, you know, it's going to be it's going to be bad for everybody, and that's important.
I think all in also has to recognize that even if one segment gets it right, but then I have to move into a community that doesn't embrace me being different, or my children have to attend schools that doesn't embrace them being different, that it does create difficulty in our ability to not only attract, but then to retain people. Pittsburgh is an amazing city.
Yes, it is.
And when you think about all the things that we've accomplished, I think that this is something that we just don't want to continue to have hanging over us as a barrier, right, to making it the most livable city for all people. And so I think we have to move from it just being a conversation about the data to a conversation about the things we're actually doing to actually make a difference for other people.
We're coming up on the close. So Candy Castleberry Singleton, William Jenrette, you hopeful for the future of Pittsburgh? You think we can do better?
I wouldn't be here if I wasn't hopeful. I mean, I've had the opportunity to go to a lot of different cities, and we're small enough, and we've done things that others haven't for a reason. So I'm very hopeful. We just have to do it.
And I believe we're all in this together. We all bring something different to the table. And if you imagine the diversity that exists and allow that diversity to actually be real and us to take actions based on our authentic commitment and not just the illusion, and whether that is making a new friend, making a referral that's different. And each one of everyone who's listening to this conversation today can think about the decisions that they've recently made. And they can decide for themselves whether they have done something that helps diversity or whether they've done something that maintains the status quo. So today, the call to action is to do something different.
And that was Candy Castleberry Singleton, founder and CEO of Dignity and Respect Incorporated. Thank you for joining us in Central Pittsburgh. Bill Jenrette, president and CEO of Urban Innovation 21. Thank you for joining us on Central Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Central Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. Special thanks to producer Katie Blackley, engineer Tom Hurley, news director Mark Newbar. You can catch the entire show online at WESA.FM or as a podcast on iTunes. A programming note, the Humankind special, The Power of Nonviolence, The Spirituality of Peacemaking, will air in observance on Martin Luther King Jr. holiday on Monday. Essential Pittsburgh will return on Tuesday. I'm Marcus Charleston, producer of Essential Pittsburgh, sitting in for Paul Guggenheimer. Thanks for listening.